Well, God's been at work in our life. You know, you walk your whole Christian life trying to figure things out, like how to make God do stuff and how to convince God that you need stuff. And, you know, God already knows. Now, here's the thing. One thing that I need everybody to really realize tonight is that God created you. Everybody say, God made me. Now, let's back up. Before God made anything, there was a process called design. And the cool thing about God is He doesn't just make stuff. You know, you look at a tree, the tree grows up out of the ground and it bears fruit. The birds rest in its branches. It releases oxygen for us to breathe. It takes in our carbon dioxide and recycles that. There's a design. Do y'all see that in the world around you? There is a design in God's creation. Well, you are the reason He designed all that. So He especially designed every one of us. So before God created any one of us, He first sat down and designed you. Not only that, but He waited. And then He launched you into this physical world that you're in right now, in the time and place that you're in right now. So God is very purposeful. He designs things a certain way. And so we see that playing out in our life right now. We see God's timing, God's design playing out in our life. And I'm going to let Leah go ahead and share where we're at right now. She's going to take you back a little bit. And then I'm going to mention some things after that, and we'll get into the Word a little bit.
So I can sing up here all day long, but I'm not a speaker. It makes me very nervous, but I'm just going to, just share, like, the testimony and everything, what God's doing, and, you know, just like I said this morning, you know, you have to go through the test first, and then, and then God turns it around to the testimony. And so, you know, this story actually does start several years ago. And, you know, this part of our life has really been God restoring us. And so that's been a great thing. You know, there's always still trials and hard things to go through, but it's just been a process of restoration because we did at one time in our life went through an extremely hard time and God was able to bring us out. Praise God. And, you know, those are the times that maybe you've gone through something like that where you don't even feel like you have God. I mean, you have nothing. And I've been there before. But after that happened, I knew that I needed to always put my trust in God and that nothing could ever take that away from me ever again. So anyway, let's see, y'all know about, 6 years ago, I had diagnosed with cancer and went through all of that and went through chemo and things like that. And I had just had my third daughter. She was just a tiny baby. And so even she was a miracle being born through all that those things. And so with the doctor, one of the things he told me was that I may never, ever have children again after that. So, you know, we just tried not to receive anything that was negative spoken over us or anything. But after all that happened that year, then I immediately got pregnant with another one. So then we had our number four daughter and everything. And so, so we were done. I mean, I was especially done. I was just like, okay, God, thank you for our four children. We are done. I kind of forced Jerry to make it official. Literally. I mean, didn't force him. We both had to sign the paper, but yes, so we took care of that medically, yes, about 5 years ago. So, and just, you know, had closed that chapter in our life and everything was great. Okay, so fast forward a little bit and then we're here, we're back with our family. And this is really, I felt like the reason why that we wanted to just share what God had done because it is a miracle and you guys are our family. And so, we're walking through each other's lives together and just rejoicing when someone needs to rejoice or praying or crying when somebody is going through something. So anyway, so I hope this encourages you a little bit, but okay. So, I actually, some of you guys may know or may remember that about a year and a half ago, I actually did get pregnant and then miscarried during that time. And so just, you know, I've had some different health problems like that in the past and everything. And so, you know, when that things like that happen, you just kind of wonder, God, why is this happening? You know, what is going on and what is your plan and things? And we begin to receive words from people. One of them was actually the first one was when Mihaila Norton was here and received a word. I think it was actually in here and received the first word about us having another baby. And so, of course, that's kind of like a big shock when I don't know if any of you guys have ever, you know, had a surprise happen to you like that or anything before, but when we started receiving these words, it really started to stretch our faith. And, but God was just giving us time, you know, and he says that he establishes his word with two or three witnesses. Okay, so that was that. Okay, then another person, we were at a different conference. The person did not even know about any of my past medical history, didn't know about anything, didn't know about this other word, and came up and gave me the exact same word, his very strong word, about us having another baby, too. And so, okay, so I went home and told Jerry, and we were just like, okay, God, what in the world is going on? And so we just began to pray, and we just began to say, God, you know, if this is your will, then you're going to have to do it, you know. It's not supposed to be able to happen. And, you know, but just, you know, we just started to pray, if this is your will. And I really struggled with that. I'm not sure how much Jerry did. and so then a couple months later, a lady who is actually one of my really good friends now, but I had never even met her at this point. And we went down to prayer. This is in the Camden Church. And she said, she was praying over us, and she said she was going to step out in faith, and not knowing any of the prior things that had gone on either, not knowing about the other words, but that she felt like she needed to step out in faith and tell us that she felt like God was saying that we're supposed to have another baby. You know, and all these times we never told them, oh, we can't have that. You know, I mean, you know, it's impossible. You know, we didn't say those kind of things. We didn't say anything. They didn't know, you know what I'm saying? So they just spoke that over us. And another thing she said was that she felt like it would be within the year. Okay, so so during this time, I felt like God was really preparing us because I don't know if any of you other women, like if you were done having children and you, boom, surprise, got pregnant, that might be a little bit depressing. I mean, it's definitely a gift from God. But, you know, if you feel like your quiver is full, okay? But so this is the time where God was preparing me. And sometimes I would not even want to pray about it. And sometimes I wouldn't. But God would always bring me back and begin to give me that faith. And so I can see really over the past few months that God had been really speaking to me about having faith. And so, so a lot of you already know because we already announced it. We told the kids this week and everything. But so it's already happening because God has already blessed us and we're going to have another one. So... and just a little bit of story about that, too, because when you first, you know, find out, then you just want to make sure everything's okay and things like that. So the doctor had gotten us in early because of my past history. So we were able to have an ultrasound, and really on the ultrasound, you couldn't see anything. And that's happened to me before. And so immediately the devil tries to come in and speak to you and just tell you those lies and... And so we called a couple of the ladies who knew, and they were praying for us. And we said, we've got to pray and believe. And we just got scriptures, and because they had scheduled another ultrasound for 2 weeks. And so I'm telling you, when God wants to put something in your life and bless you, and then Satan's going to try to come and steal it away. But you cannot back down. You cannot let him. So just keep on believing and keep fighting. So that was 2 weeks, and, you know, we hadn't said anything to hardly anybody yet. But that was just, to us, a miracle day when we went back, and Jerry was able to be there that time. And so had the ultrasound, and everything's going great. You know, heartbeat is fine, and just everything was going great. So we just wanted to rejoice with you with that. So just continue to pray for us and our family. And we just do feel like if it was a miracle, that this is, must be what God wants. So Ace, and even some people in here have said things to me too in the past about having them. So I just want to thank you guys for lifting us up in prayer and rejoicing with us. And if I'm not up here jumping around all the time, you know why.
The things that we're learning, here's the biggest spiritual lesson that we have learned in the last 10 years is chill out. You know, you worry, worry, worry. You plead, you plead, you plead. And God is saying, I'm trying to get you to trust, trust, trust. And when you trust, it's amazing how God begins to work in your life. You know, we can look in the Word of God and we can see awesome stories. How many of you had flannel graphs when you were in Sunday school? Do y'all know what a flannel graph is? Am I the only one? Is it a Southern Baptist thing? Okay. The flannel graph is just a piece of, it's a felt board, and they have the little cutouts of people, you know, and they say, you know, and then Moses walked over to the bush, you know, and it's just this cutout, you know, and they have the burning bush and everything, and they stick it up there. I grew up with that in Sunday school, and there were awesome stories, but here's the thing that I've learned recently is that they're not just stories. What I've learned recently is that God took several hundred years out of history to teach us all one lesson. I think that's so awesome that he blocked out that whole chunk of time and recorded it. Several thousand years ago, history recorded that you and I can go anywhere, go into a hotel room and slide open a drawer and read the story of how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, took them through the wilderness, and led them into the promised land. And today, that is a story that applies to each one of our spiritual lives. And I used to look at that story, and I used to think, well, you know, God one day will reach that promised land, you know? You know, that's what I was taught when I was a kid. The promised land was heaven. You know, right now, you're in the wilderness. You just got to hold out. And then one day you'll go into the promised land. Well, I want to kind of present to you something different. I believe what God is speaking to me is that that trip of deliverance and into the promised land happens in a bunch of different areas of our life. See, when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, the Bible says it was because he heard their cry. They cried out to him, and they were being mistreated, and they were in bondage in Egypt, and they cried out to God, and God heard them, and God put the plan in action for them to be delivered. Now, for them to be delivered, there had to be some phenomenal things take place. Pharaoh's heart had to be softened. It said Pharaoh's heart was hard, and so all of these things had to happen. And, you know, something would happen, and Moses would go to Pharaoh and say, okay, now let my people go. And he would say, no. And so something else would happen. And, all of these things were happening. The children of Israel, what do you think they were doing? Were they striving and pleading and saying, you know, I think they were just standing back in awe. Like, God, I can't believe that you are doing this. You are turning this whole nation that has had us in bondage upside down on its ear for us so that we can be delivered. And that's the way God works. When you cry out, God hears, God shows up, and God delivers. And you stand back in awe. Now, that would be great. Now, I've always asked myself, I've been asking God recently, God, why promises? Why do you send somebody to tell us something and give us a promise? Why not just do it? You know? Why not just do it? Why do you have to make promises? Why do you have to send people into our life to speak into our life and say, expect this, you know, this is coming. Why don't you just do it? Why do you have to give us promises? I want to tell you something about after the deliverance from Egypt, Israel didn't go from there, step over the border, and they were in the promised land. There was something in between called wilderness. Everybody say wilderness. Now here's the thing. They didn't do anything to be delivered. God showed up, He heard the cry, He showed up, and He delivered them miraculously, just like He did for a lot of us. And guys, Victor used to show these videos of testimonials of people in the church, and they were just giving their testimony. It was just story after story after story of people who just cried out to God, and God showed up and delivered them. That's what happened when Leah had cancer. I would go to the altar every day on my lunch break, and I would just cry and plead and cry and plead out to God. And then finally, God just stopped me one day, just arrested me in the middle of my pleading, and He said, "You are crying out for your wife, but keep in mind that she's my daughter." And all of a sudden, this peace came over me, and I knew that God had this thing. God had this thing. And all of my pleading and all of my crying and everything, you know what it actually was? It was me trying to get my flesh into a place where I wasn't scared, where I had confidence and trust in Him. That was the sound of my flesh crying out, you know? And God had to bring me to a place of trust. And God did. God took care of the whole thing. When Leah went back, very early for her first scan after chemo started, not only was the stage 4 cancer completely gone, but the grapefruit size, softball size tumor in her chest was gone, which would have needed to be radiated to shrink. And it would, you know, things like that are always there. They say we just got to shrink it down to make sure it doesn't give you any problems later. It's all gone, you know. I just think of all of the wasted money and cleaning up, throw up, and everything else with the chemo, you know, and God probably was the one that did it the whole time. John 3:16 says this. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that what? Whosoever believes in Him won't perish but have eternal life. That word whosoever is more powerful than we give it credit for. It means anybody that cries out to God in any situation, no matter how far they are from God, when they cry out, God shows up, God hears them, He shows up, and He delivers. Romans 10:9-10, if you'll confess with your mouth and just believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Simple formula. Now here's the thing. I'm not going to do the sideshow, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm off way off of it. Here's the thing. Salvation is this big, bold, y'all know the color chartreuse. It's like the color of that bag. That's the color of the door of salvation. And it says salvation is here. You know, enter here for salvation. Your deliverance, you know. God has put this massive door that you can walk through for salvation. It's very simple. Everybody in America knows, you know. They know that they can go to a hotel room and slide out a drawer and pull out a Bible, and they can find out how to get saved. It's a big, bold door for salvation. Two things. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. But afterwards, there's something called the wilderness. Salvation isn't difficult. But listen, that confession and that belief in the Lordship of Jesus must be strong enough to let everything that isn't on that path in the wilderness fall away, and for you to walk that path all the way to the promised land. See, here's the thing. Israel didn't get far into the wilderness before they started crying out for the things of Egypt again. Remember that? The Bible says that when you're saved, that the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. See, God is trying to wean us. He's trying to pull us out of the things of the world. He's trying to get us into what He intends for our life. And that's the purpose of the wilderness. The purpose of the wilderness isn't just to create discipline in your life. The purpose of the wilderness is to create trust in your life. See, here's the thing. They left Egypt, and before they left, God said, go to your neighbor's house and get what you're going to need. You know, ask them for whatever you'll need for the journey, and they're going to give it to you. How many of you know they probably didn't ask for food and like things that they're really going to need, because they probably craved the things of Egypt. We know that because in the wilderness they were wanting to go back into the things of Egypt. So they probably had a lot of gold and jewels and stuff that, you know, there's no 7-Eleven to buy a chili dog in the wilderness. There's nothing you could do with some of the things that they took into the wilderness. And when all of that stuff, they probably shed all that stuff in the wilderness somewhere, and then they began to get hungry, and they began to get thirsty. And you know what God did? God provided. You know, they didn't know where it was going to come from, and it was the plan of God, and God provided. The Bible says that manna came down from heaven, and manna, the word manna literally means, what is it? It was like nothing they'd ever seen before. It was food from heaven. God provided them in the wilderness. And then they were thirsty, and God told Moses to go strike the rock, and water would come forth. Now, here's the thing that just dawned on me. On the flannel graph, as a kid, it showed Moses with his staff and a stone about as high as he was and a spigot, like a spigot of water coming out. Here's what I need you to realize that it just hit me. There were millions of people. So when he struck this rock, mountain, whatever it was, there was enough water that came out of that thing to not only feed the thirsty ground that probably soaked up, whatever would come out of it. Not only did the ground soak, the wilderness, the desert ground was soaked with water, but there was enough water for millions of people to gather around and to drink their fill from. We're talking about like maybe Lake de Grey, you know. This is the kind of water. This was a phenomenal, just magnificent show of God's power and provision. And God can do that in all of our lives. And he's bringing us to this place where we can trust him. Now we talked about Egypt shedding off a lot of the old things. When I got married, there was only one woman allowed in that marriage relationship. I was like, yeah, you know, we can get married. I'm gonna bring these other ladies with me though, you know. It didn't work like that. When you get married, there's something that kicks in. It's called solidarity. And if you don't know the meaning of that word, then you might not be married very long. Solidarity means one. It means that when we got married, there was an agreement. You're the only one. And she agreed that I was the only one. And God is bringing us to a place of solidarity. Because here's the thing. We've all stood, if you've been born again, you have stood at the altar with a jealous God. He calls himself a jealous husband. And when you stand at that altar, he's not going to allow other relationships. In fact, when Israel was in the wilderness, one of the first rules he gave them was this. You shall not have any other gods before me. God was seeking oneness. God was seeking solidarity in them. And then the recurring complaint that God continuously had after that was idols. Get the idols out. I want to be the only God. I want to be the only love in your life. Now here's the thing. If our heart is full of other gods, he is going to bring us to a place like he did in the Old Testament where all we have left is him. And here's the thing. It's going to totally freak you out, and it should, because your whole world is falling apart at that point. That's what it feels like, because that's what it is. When you get into the wilderness in your life and all you have is God, your world really is falling apart. But for him to fill your heart with himself, remember, the one that you were created for, the one who designed you and created you, your heart must be emptied. And you can do it out of passion for him, or he will do it out of passion for you. Because what he created and designed you for is life everlasting to you. It is what you were born to do. It is what you, the only thing on earth that you will find contentment doing. So He will bring you to that place of solidarity with Him. Where you're going and what God is calling you to requires you to travel light. Not necessarily out here. That's not what it's about. It requires you to travel light in here. And here's the thing. He said in His Word to take His yoke upon you. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. See, anything that you try to carry around other than what He gives you, remember, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Whatever you try to carry around in your life that did not come from Him, it will either take you down or it will take you back. Any time that the Israelites got into a place where they didn't know where what they needed was going to come from, the first thought was, we need to go back. Don't let anything stay in your life that's going to take you down or that's going to take you back. Now, here's the thing. The wilderness didn't last forever, but it did last an entire generation. And it seems pretty cold, you know, when you read it and you think, God, you know, it just seems really cold that you didn't allow those people to go into the promised land. They all died. And then the next generation went in. And here's the thing. God is taking us somewhere, but it's up to us. See, salvation, deliverance, that's not up to us. You didn't do anything for that. But when you get in the wilderness, there's a process that happens. And it's up to us how quickly we get there. It's up to us. Do you know it was like a month journey? Took them 40 years to get through the wilderness? Just circles, 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 circles. And then they got to the promised land. And then God put them to the test. They came back and they said, you know, they're bringing back the grapes, the cluster of grapes that was so big it took two men to carry. And I don't know if those were grapes the size of volleyballs or if it was just that many grapes on one cluster. I don't know. But they're bringing back these grapes that are just unbelievable. And the Bible says that they testified that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And I don't even know what that means. Does anybody know what that means? I don't know. I picture like cows with just milk just gushing out of their udders, you know, volcanoes of honey. I don't know what that even looks like. But it sounds pretty good that the land is flowing with milk and honey. And they said, but there are giants in the land. And that was the test. And they said, we can't do it. And God said, no, you can't. And God never let us get to the place where we get to the end of our testing and we're still not there yet. Let us do what the testing and what the wilderness was designed for us to do. So the promised land, He is taking us somewhere. And when it's all over, we will stand in that place of solidarity with Him. And here's the thing. There will be things in our life at that time, at that moment, at that time, that we never dreamed we would ever want or need. But all of a sudden, we realized that it was the thing we always craved. And that everything else in life was always a substitute for. In that place, we're going to find everything that we ever truly desired. Not only are we going to be free from bondage, but we're going to have the things from Him that are relevant to our life in more abundance and better quality than you could have ever had in the world at any level. Guys, there's things that when we walk into this, we're going to close, but as we walk into our wilderness, here's the things that we're craving as we walk in. We crave prosperity. We crave fame. We crave safety. And maybe those aren't necessarily bad things. But there's things that have to come in the wilderness, like for prosperity, there has to be trust in Him that's built into our life. We have to be able to trust Him. In fame, God wants to work in our hearts humility. And then safety, God wants us to want to work into us that we know that He has us in the palm of His hand. And what we come out with isn't prosperity, isn't fame, isn't safety, you know, this craving, just this fear, just I just need to be safe. You know, those aren't the things we come out with. We come out with His awesome provision in our life. We come out with, instead of fame, we come out with influence. Where God gives us influence and gives us an anointing. And instead of this feeling of, I've got to be safe all the time, it's this reassuring peace that He's in complete control. See, the things that we crave in the world, in Egypt, I should say, are just a substitute of what God really wants to lead us into. But the wilderness is where we become the people that can handle the promised land. Because when they got to the promised land, they didn't just walk in and set up shop. There were giants. And you know what? God fought for them. But they had come to a place where they could trust Him to do that. God's got us all on a journey, and some of us are farther on that journey than others, and there's some places where I think I'm miles ahead in my journey, and then there's other places that show up, it's like I'm still in Egypt, you know? But God has got us all on that journey, and the goal is to get us to that promised land. But listen, the wilderness is up to us. It's on us. How much can you give up so you can take on more of Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You've written, that this Word has been written down, God, as a historical record, Lord, that we can read this and it applies directly to our life today. Lord, we know that You're at work in us. And Lord, we know that the reason You're at work in us is for us, but it's so that You can flow through us. We want to be a depot for Your Spirit and Your anointing to flow through to the sphere of influence that You have us in, to the world around us. God, we know that that's Your goal, is to establish us in that promised land to be a light for You. So, Father, we just pray that right now, God, we just humble our hearts and we give ourselves over to You and we say, have Your way in us. Lord, we know that You are a good God. You are good. You don't have good. You don't give good things. You are good. Lord, with You in our life, we have good. We have Your goodness. We have everything that is good, everything that is perfect. So, Father, we trust You with that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we're a little early. We just close? All right. Love you guys. We'll see y'all Wednesday night, especially if you're in high school.